This is Automotive Repair News Today. I'm Braxton Critcher. Thanks for listening. And we've been doing this podcast for a little over a month, and once a week we'll release the top headlines around the industry to let you know what's going on and keep you informed. And I've been doing interviews with industry leaders to let you know about news that's happening. But I've not been releasing those interviews. And I got to thinking the other day, you know what? We need to release these interviews because there's so much more content that we're able to release that way than just in a 5 or 6 minute episode of the news show. So that's what we're going to do. When I release or when I record a interview, I'm going to release it. Today's episode is with Equipment and Tools Institute and Brian Plott from ETI, as they got some really big news they just announced at their annual Tool Tech event in California, and we're going to let Brian tell you what's up. So here's Brian Plott in our conversation about the exciting news with ETI. All right, so ETI is going global. What does that mean and what's happening?
After years of growth and so forth, the ETI has been one that's catered very, very well in our business model to the tool manufacturers and to the OEMs, maintaining a very neutral balance in terms of the relationships to keep business moving in the aftermarket space. We've gotten to a point where a lot of the members were having to deal with issues, you know, internationally. And as part of a long-range plan that we were developing when I came in, we'd gotten some traction, and it was clear that the forward-going direction was going to need to be Europe. So we released the big word at our Tool Tech event last week, and we're basically carrying the exact same model that we do here in the States. We're going to carry it over there, open a branch office, it looks like it's going to be in the UK. And then we'll be doing the same thing of trying to bring on new members, which are aftermarket tool and equipment manufacturers, and start working the relationships with the OEMs, leveraging our relationships with the OEMs here in the States. So we do, like I said earlier, we maintain a neutral position between the two, between the aftermarket and OEM, and just basically look to work with those relationships, get them bigger, and make it easy for everybody involved. Because at the end of the day, it's the technicians and the shop owners and the end user consumer who need to be aware of what's going on.
How long has this been going on, Brian?
Been
in the works of going global. How long has that been in the plans?
We've had a number of things going on in the background to both evaluate the feasibility of doing it, and then actually putting the pieces in place that we would need to have in place prior to pulling the trigger. So I would say we're probably going back into last October, November timeframe, when we started working in the background and kept it very, very quiet, kind of got directional input from our board of directors in terms of what we were doing and making sure we're going the right way, the way the aftermarket tool manufacturers wanted us to go. So it's been interesting and covered a lot of things that you wouldn't have otherwise seen unless you were digging for them and kind of fell by surprise. But there's a tremendous amount of difference between doing what we do here and then being able to take that up and do it over in Europe. That, you know, business isn't done the same. The legal infrastructure is not the same. In certain cases, it's, you know, even the potential members aren't the same. So there's going to be a lot of work in terms of changing minds. But at Tool Tech last week, we had, I think, 8 or 9 different OEMs that were there, and talking with a few of them, they were very candid. It's about time you did that. I'm going to go back to my office on Monday, and I'll start sending you some contacts that you can reach out to. I'll warm the way, and we'll see if we can get something going, because you're right, they do need help and support that way.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, you've been working on this for about a half year at this point, a little longer. Yep. But how long has it been something that's been a need? That, like you said, people are saying it's about time. This is,
yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, that's probably the case. That's a great question to catch on to. So that yeah, it's probably been something that we should have could have focused on earlier.
Were you aware of it?
Pardon?
Were you aware of it?
We suspected it. And again, any organization, especially like ETI, we need to have some direction. So thus, one of the key things what it did in first coming on was develop a new LRP, long-range plan. And we've been working to the plan. This was part of it. And we hit a couple of junctures where we took it to the board and said, we can go this way or we can go that way. And which way would you like us to go? And we finally got to a point where it was, let's investigate this. The timing is good in the market. Things had, you know, pretty much recovered from COVID. And we dove in and started getting to work on it theoretically at first. And then let's put some serious mechanics. We got one of our tool company members to sponsor it with the board for us. And we've been pursuing it since.
So this is obviously some exciting news for ETI, and you've mentioned it yourself. You're going to learn a lot. There's a lot of things you don't know about doing something like this in Europe. Yep. It's exciting. There's new things happening, and I'm sure there's going to be things that happen with ETI in the future because of this decision that mm-hmm. are going to be good. But what does this mean for the automotive industry and an owner's listening, maybe a member of ETI here in the States? What does this mean for them?
We've had challenges with getting information and some other things from the European OEMs that it creates a complicated structure and process to be able to get the information. So what we're hoping this will do, and like I said, we've interviewed quite a few people in different aspects, but we're hoping that this will open up everyone's eyes and keep the information flowing and allow us to get in and show the OEMs in the European space what we've done with the OEMs in the United States space and let them talk and help us out, especially with them. You know, there seems to be a willingness there to do that. Mm. So in the meantime, we have identified a person that will have feet on the ground over in Europe. And start developing. We've targeted quite a number of different companies in the tool manufacturing space. So we will be establishing relationships with them, leveraging relationships we've already developed with some of our international friends like AGEA, and start getting to work on getting everybody moving mm-hmm. in the same direction.
Now, you know, a lot of shops these days are connecting with each other through things like Tool Tech, other training events around the country. And it's been exciting to see the growth in the industry because shops are more connected with each other and working together now more than ever. And like ETI, Tool Tech, other training events, some shops from around the world do come to those too. It's not just yes. stateside. And so shops are being connected around the globe. Yep. But this step is even furthering that. And like you said, things in Europe are ran a whole lot differently, but in some right. ways, maybe better. How do you think this might change and accelerate the growth of the industry in the States because of something like this happening in Europe?
Could be something in the last 2 years post COVID. A lot of the industry, a lot of the OEs in the industry went to licensing models where they had provided the data before they moved to licensing their data, but for function of security, but also from a standpoint of good business practice. So, there's a likelihood that we will glean a lot from this because we do know several of the European-based auto manufacturers that they license their data, but they do it at unaffordable levels. And, you know, we want to propose to them certain things we've learned and say, look at this. We could do it this way. It'd be more beneficial for you. And that has a trickle-down effect down to your end-user customers who buy your cars. So yeah, we're hoping that as we dig into it more and more, that it does open our eyes to some new things, and we hope to bring a lot to that party as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is big news, obviously, for ETI and the automotive industry. What else do you think is connected to this story that might be worth sharing?
It's, I think, looking at the technology that's had to come to pass here over the last year or two, three, whatever, ADAS. I mean, if you look at how fast and rapidly we've had to progress as an industry just to be able to get the ADAS piece in place, make sure that people, shop owners, technicians, and user customers understand what that system is and the safety features of it, and the potential bad side for not getting that kind of work done. It's always been funny. I relate it to in the automotive space. You know, when I was when I started in the industry, I was selling, you know, big engine analyzers and alignment systems and things like that. And the four wheel alignment, thrust angle alignment had just come out, or vehicles that required that. And, the consumer was used to going into a shop paying $29.95 for a front end alignment and going home. Now they were coming to the shop and be $79.99 or $89.99 for a thrust angle alignment. And the OEs didn't educate the end user consumer. They talk about all the good things when you buy the car, but not the potential for bad, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a big expensive chunk. Here you go with ADAS. It's the same thing all over again. People go in and buy a new car. They don't get, an education on what ADAS is and what it does and how it's there to benefit them. As an industry, we're having to do that too, much less learn to do the work that is required in training our technicians and everything so that they can do that work as well. And EV is another one. I mean, I'm back in Michigan now, but last week we were out in California, obviously, and it was,
on the front desk.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Hey, duty calls.
Where was I?
You were out in California last week.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, driving around out there, it was becoming the joke of the day would be riding, going somewhere. And you go, oh, look, a Tesla. Oh, look, a Tesla. Mm-hmm. You know, Tesla's done a great job in California on their market penetration. But there was a lot of other electric vehicles and that type of thing out there. So, you know, and I guess if they weren't EV, they still had ADAS, you know. So it's those are those technologies that are driving significant change within our industry. We want to be a part of that and help form that and give avenues to the entities within the industry that can help come up with the best decisions to keep the motoring public safe all the way around.
Hmm. Well, he's Brian Plott with ETI. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you very much, Braxton. Appreciate your time.